Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. Basic summertime, but not as hot. Highs not in the 90s, but knocking on the door. 40% chance for afternoon showers. Highs near 90 through the weekend, and then maybe a little bit of less humidity come Monday, but no real cool fronts yet. The first day of autumn is Sunday, which means it's tradition. You'll hear autumn in New Orleans on Monday morning. David Schultz joins us now, professor of political science at Hamline University. How you doing, David?
I am doing well. In case you're wondering, it's 88 degrees here today.
Really?
So you don't get the cool weather until we get the cool weather, you know, from Canada. It comes down to you. So we're still hot.
Interesting to hear former President Trump say that, and this has nothing to do with former President Trump. This is more about theology, because years ago we had a story where a lady drove her car into the lake and she says her guardian angel saved her. And I wondered at that point, this is 10, 20 years ago, well, okay, but where was the guardian angel to keep the car from going in the lake? You see what I'm saying? You can play that game all day long. And former President Trump saying that God wants him to be president, that's why he saved his life during this. And we've gone from assassination attempt to alleged assassination attempt to attempted assassination. Parse the words however you want. The guy was in the bushes with a gun, and his intent was to shoot former President Donald Trump, but the Secret Service prevented that. But, of course, you could always say, well, if that's the case, then why did God even put that guy there with a rifle? You can play that game all day, right?
Correct, sure. And I don't know about you, but I have no idea what God knows.
I get nervous whenever any president, be it any politician, be it a president or a mayor, Democrat, Republican, claims to have direct communication with God. I don't like that at all. I understand everybody talks to God, and I realize that, but you know, I don't know. It just doesn't sit right when it comes to public policy and those kind of things. But let's not get lost in the weeds on that. Let's talk about the second attempted assassination on former President Trump. Does that help or hurt in the polls? Or I guess it's hard for politicians to survive assassination attempts. So therefore, it's the amount of information that you have is limited as far as whether or not it helps in the polls, right?
You're right. Okay, so after the first assassination attempt...
There's a lot unpacked there, David. Take your time unpacking
it. Yeah, sure. After the first assassination attempt on him, somebody wrote me and said, here's some data to take a look at. And going back to when, there was a couple of attempts on Gerald Ford back in the 70s, and then there was a couple of other attempts, you know, here and there.
Reagan got shot.
What do you make of it like that? And when you looked at the numbers there... with Ford, there was, if I can call it a bump, there was no assassination attempt bumped. With Reagan, very short term and so forth. But for the most part, for the few that we have, and I'll say thankfully, we have very little data, you know, on this, you know, which is good, because we're not hopefully going to be killing a lot of people or have it like that. Doesn't really appear to be any pattern in terms of whether there's a bump or not a bump whatsoever. And again, I'm going to be the first to concede and say we've only got about three or four examples in recent history that we can examine. You know, too many things are going on here, but it does not appear that like Ford or Reagan got suddenly surges in popularity as a result of it. So my guess would be if that's true, same thing with Trump. We didn't see it after his first attempt. I'll be skeptical for this because we're just so polarized right now. I don't think there's a lot of people's minds to change at this point.
Along those lines, what about the debate? Because I don't know if I spoke to you about this. We had a hurricane, and a lot of it's still blurry, speaking of blurry in my mind. But it seemed to me the debate is like one of these old sitcoms where everybody remembers things differently, where, you know, their face gets all fuzzy and everything's like, well, that's not how I remember it. It seems to me like, and I think when you watched, if you're a Harris supporter, if you watched the debate, you thought she cleaned the floor with Trump. If you're a Trump supporter, you thought he cleaned the floor with Harris. So I don't know if anybody's mind changed at all. What do the polls say?
Again, now that we're about 10 days out, it looks like an incredibly small bump, if at all, for Harris. So what do you mean by an incredibly small bump? Maybe a point or so. But again, the polls are all over the map at this point. You know, if you look at over the weekend, what the ABC poll has Harris with a 6-point lead. Some other polls, you know, are closer. Some have Trump with the lead. It's in the national polls. And then the state polls remain exceedingly close at this point, where it doesn't look like there's been any shift whatsoever. So my simple answer would be that it's inconclusive. It does not look like it's moved many people. Going into the debate, again, in the critical 6 swing states, it was suggesting barely 2% of the voters in each of the states were undecided. So we're not looking at many people moving. And for those undecided voters, if they're undecided, what they're telling us is that neither of the candidates spoke to them. That they thought neither of them gave a lot of details, or one was too far to the right, one was too far to the left. And so my guess is again, debate barely moved the needle on anything.
I took some notes watching the Sunday morning shows on Sunday, and I think I got this right, that it was 20,000 votes in 2016 and 80,000 in 2020. Is that right? That made the difference?
It would have been in 2016. It was about 90,000, and four years ago, 2020, at 43,000.
So
if you were to take just to clarify, if you were to move 43,000 votes appropriately across Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin, Trump would have gotten 43,000 more in those three states in the appropriate distribution. He would be finishing up his second term as president of the United States. That shows, and in the previous 4 years, it was 90,000. So we're looking at, you know, incredibly small numbers of people and a very few number of states that are going to decide the election. And that becomes the issue. You know, did the poll, is the assassination attempt, is whatever the October surprises are yet to come at this point. And you know there's going to be more. Are they going to move a few thousand people in one state, a few thousand more there? That's what we're looking at this point, such incredibly small numbers of people to move. And it may not even be that they move. They just decide at the end of the day, well, a pox on both houses, I'm not going to vote. I don't really like either of them at this point.
You know what? And we'll talk about that when we come back, David. If that happens, who does that favor? It just seems like if you want to make a visual example of this, it's kind of like you have planes that are just dropping leaflets all over the country, when in fact, all they'd really have to do is drop a bunch of leaflets over a couple of zip codes. Accurate?
That's pretty accurate.
All right, let me take a break. We'll take a short break here for traffic, come back, continue our conversation with David Schultz. We'll talk about celebrity endorsements. I don't know if they really matter because, again, if you're talking about it, and we'll try to narrow it down to how many thousand people we're talking about here to determine the presidential race, and if they decide to sit home, does that benefit one or the other? 621 Traffic Now, WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 6:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, talking about the presidential election and how many thousands of people are actually going to decide this thing. You know, you said in 2016 it was 90,000, 2020, 43,000. We got any idea what kind of numbers we're talking about for 2024, David?
Yeah, I've been saying somewhere around 150,000 to 200,000 voters, and that may be a high estimate, you know. But that's an estimate based upon the belief that there's about six states, you know, that are in play. So think about it: if it was three states in play in 16, mm-hmm. Three states in 2020. It's a guess. You know, we're making a best educated guess. I'm saying 150,000, 200,000 voters across Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, you know, Pennsylvania, maybe North Carolina, you know. But if you think about it, here is that because of the Electoral College winner take all, you know, my state, Minnesota, is not seeing any visits. Your state, I mean, when was the last time in a general election you saw a presidential candidate, you know, tour your state? And so, mm-hmm. so for the most part, you know, in let's say 44, 45 states, the voters are more or less ignored. Yeah, you go vote, because your state's going to vote a particular way, and it matters for lower offices. But an awful lot of people really don't have much of a say in the presidential election.
You know, along those lines, I was thinking about Ohio, and it used to be as Ohio goes, so goes the nation. Yeah. But then they turned pretty red, did they not?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
But with all of this foolishness with the Haitians and the pets and the and I'm not giving credence to any of this. I'm just saying that the fact that this would derail a presidential debate, the fact that you have Republican officials, a Republican governor, Republican mayor of Springfield saying, you know, stop, it's causing them a lot of problems. Is there any way that could backlash on the Republicans and in any way put Ohio up for grabs or not?
Again, I'm still skeptical because, again, we are just so polarized and we're so fixed in our opinions at this point, is that no one seems to be changing their mind. You know, take us back a year ago, September of, 2023. I mean, we were already at the point back then where probably 95%, 96% of the American public had made up their mind. It was pretty easy to predict what the swing states and so forth. We're just, I don't know. The electorate is just so fixed at this point that I don't think you're going to shift very much again. But again, having said that, in a country where it's going to be 150,000, 200,000 voters, you might be able to move some in other states. But Ohio has become so solidly Republican. Again, I would be skeptical that something like this would really shift anything.
I heard about a vice presidential debate yesterday. I think CBS is going to have one. Does that matter or not between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance?
Same thing, probably not at this point. I mean, 40% of the American public can't name who the vice president is, not just this one, but vice presidents in general. There's very little evidence that someone says, gosh, I was going to vote for Trump, but because of Tim Walz, I'm going to shift or vice versa. I mean, it'll be good entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be interesting to watch. But again, incredibly small numbers.
So
of
what is
people,
it?
I think we should.
What does it turn on, David? If you had to predict right now, what does this election turn on?
Mobilization at this point. The issues have been defined by both sides. It's just a question of which side can better get out its people on election day or leading up to it. That's all it is at this point.
And that comes down to money in a lot of ways. Rides of the poll, those
money.
Kind of things.
Exactly. It's all about money.
And early voting, that factors in as well, I guess, right?
Yeah, early voting in Minnesota starts this Friday. Some other states, too. The military, I think, starts to get to vote. Is that 45 days out? So sometime like at the end of the week, you know, military personnel. So the election is literally on top of us now.
Could be something to see. Thank you, David. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon. David Schultz, professor of political science, Hamline University. Jan Moeller joins as we come back. Talk about the state and health care and budget deficit and more. Right now it's time for WWL First News.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.